as an Aboriginal and South Sea Islander woman from the Minjibul clan of the Bundjalung Nation, I also want to pay my respects to our ancestors amongst us, elders who are here in the room, and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who've joined us here tonight. There's so many of our mob right around the country who are fighting for our people, and so I want to acknowledge all those people as well. It's so important to acknowledge the ongoing struggle of First Nations people here in this country and to acknowledge how we are still facing colonisation in a modern context today. But it's also really important to remind ourselves of the strength and the resiliency that has allowed us to still be here today. I also want to specifically acknowledge the Wangan and Jagalingu people and other traditional owners whose country is threatened by Adani's coal project. As you can see from the video that we just saw, the strength and resiliency of the Wangan and Jagalingu people is extraordinary, but it's also extraordinarily terrifying. We're all here in this room tonight because we want to stop Adani. But first and foremost, the fight of the First Nations people whose country is on the line, it's a whole different story, and it's a story that can only be told by the people themselves. So being here tonight, I'm speaking on behalf of myself as an Aboriginal woman and the SEED Indigenous Youth Climate Network, who stand as separate but in solidarity with the traditional owners who are on the front lines of Adani's bullying to get this coal project off the ground. So I'm here to talk to you tonight about why Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people right around this country are standing up for climate justice in hope that all of you, and I can see all your faces in this room, will join us too. As the National Co-Director of the SEED Indigenous Youth Climate Network, I have one of the best jobs in the world, building up the next generation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people who are passionate and creative and committed to doing everything that it takes to protect our country, our culture and our communities from the causes and impacts of climate change. As a 22-year-old Aboriginal woman, growing up on the north coast of New South Wales, Bundjalung Country is up near Byron Bay, for those of you that know it, it's very beautiful. But growing up there, I've been a witness to the impacts of climate change the majority of my life. It was when I started witnessing changes in the local environment around my home, including severe coastal erosion from increased cyclones along the east coast of Australia, that I started to become concerned. At the time, I was also learning about climate change at school, and learning about the impacts that it was having on people around the world. And so I started to connect the dots between what I was learning at school and about who I am as an Aboriginal person and the injustices faced by Indigenous peoples. And I realised that we had to do something about it. And as Indigenous people, we have a huge responsibility. What I also realised, though, is that although climate change impacts everyone, the impacts aren't evenly distributed. And too often it's the people who've done the least to cause the issue that face the most severe consequences. At the core of this crisis is the loss of Indigenous land, culture and livelihoods. Furthermore, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in this country, the majority of our population is under 25. And alongside our non-Indigenous brothers, sisters, cousins, family, it's young people that are inheriting the decisions, inheriting the consequences of decisions that we haven't even been a part of making. And so that's why a few years ago we launched SEED, which is a growing network of young people right around the country as a branch of the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. What many people don't realise is that our mob are on the front lines of the causes and the impacts of climate change. From rising sea levels in the Torres Strait and other low-lying islander communities, droughts, heat waves, floods. On top of this, our land has been dug up and destroyed ever since colonisation. Furthermore, our communities have been fighting for years for better housing. We just heard Aunty Matilda say that, you know, in her youth, she's been a part of setting up the tent embassy here. So many of our mob have been fighting for basic human services like health and education and access to clean drinking water. Climate change makes all of these issues worse. It's not just a matter of the environment. It's an issue of social justice and Indigenous rights. We know that the mining and the burning of fossil fuels is by far the largest contribution that we make towards climate change. And in a country that continues to witness the impacts of a warming climate, it's completely reckless that our government are even considering this mine. Furthermore, for our mob, the impacts of climate change and fossil fuel extraction go beyond what you see in the photos and on TV and hear about in the news. We don't just see the impacts, we feel them. Our country is a part of who we are. It's a part of our identity. From coral bleaching events in the Great Barrier Reef to unpredictable seasons and changing weather patterns, on top of the loss of native plants and wildlife. For many of us, we feel the pain that our country feels. We feel the pain of our ancestors and our old people who lived sustainably and looked after this country for generations. We feel the pain of future generations who are inheriting this mess. I remember it was Marwa Johnson, who was in the video just before, youth spokesperson for the Wanganan Jagalingu people. She explained it by saying, if our country is sick, then so are we. Not just Indigenous people, but all people. The reason why so many young mob are a part of this movement is because we can't just stand by and watch our communities be walked over and trampled. We're sick of decisions being made about us, without us. Right now, some of you might know that the Turnbull government have denied the rights of Indigenous peoples by trying to rush through changes to the Native Title Act in the interests of mining companies like Adani. Up until this afternoon, it also looked like Labor was going to support them. And we're going to keep the pressure up. But for generations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have fought so hard for land rights. And yet within a matter of weeks, this can all just be undone. All without any proper consultation. A few days for submissions to be open is not proper consultation. One public hearing in Brisbane is not proper consultation. As Indigenous people, we have a cultural responsibility to protect country. But these native title amendments make it harder for us to fulfill this responsibility and make it easier for mining companies like Adani to destroy our land. But as grim as the world can seem today, we're not about to give up anytime soon. As the oceans are rising, people like yourselves are rising up too. And what gives me hope are the hundreds of thousands of young people right across Australia and the world who are rising up to this challenge, and we will be the ones who lead the change this world needs. Here in Australia, we're not alone. Right across the world, First Nations people are mobilising, organising, and getting the job done. It's our communities on the front line who need to be at the forefront of change, leading the solutions that work for all people and not just for some. So I had a bit more in here that I was going to talk to you about in terms of the banks. Who knows that, you know, Adani need money and that, you know, we've been putting pressure on Australia's big four banks to not let them get it. Yeah? Yeah. So the power of the people over the last few years, we've seen NAB publicly rule it out, Commonwealth Bank and ANZ, thank you, distance themselves as well. But Westpac is who we need to be focusing on. They claim to be one of the most sustainable banks, but, you know, they haven't distanced themselves from Adani. So we need to keep up the fight. I want to end that, you know, we're going to do everything that it takes to stop Adani from getting private money from the banks, but also public funding from our own government, from the Northern Australian Infrastructure Fund that they've promised $1 billion from. So you're going to hear more about what we need to do and the strategy of this campaign. But for a minute, I just want you to imagine a world where the lives of all people are valued equally, where together we stand up for each other despite the colour of our skin, the amount of money in our pockets, or whether the problem is in my backyard or yours. To change everything, we need everyone. But right now, this is only a part of our vision, and it's up to us to create it. We can't let climate change be an issue that divides us. It needs to be an issue that unites us. So who's with me? Yeah.